Stay tuned for The Lynn Show. Today, I'm airing an interview with an extraordinary man who doesn't seem to know how extraordinary he is. Musician Jerry Billick, who composed more than 50 pieces of music, whose March, Block M, which he wrote for the University of Michigan Marching Band when he was a senior there, who worked with Danny Kaye, Dick Van Dyke, Leonard Bernstein, Barbra Streisand, Neil Diamond, to name a few, who wrote and arranged the music for Disney on Ice for 30 years and also directed the show, Jerry Billick, who says of himself that he's adequate and perhaps a fair composer. This is an amazing story, so hang on. Here come the show.
Hearing from an inner voice, finding choice where there's no choice, with gentle prodding from the voice. Oh, you really can.
The Lynn Show is about being the person you really are. Not the person you think you're supposed to be, or the person other people are, or the person somebody told you you needed to be. Not even the person you may think you are, but the person you really are. And I interview people who make their living or their life for my show, because when you listen to them, you can hear what it sounds like to be who you really are. And my interview today is a wonderful example of a man who continually simply became who he is. Listen to Jerry explain how in kindergarten, when he was asked to play a tulip, he made the decision that theater would be part of his life. And listen to the extraordinary reason he taught himself to play piano. This is a remarkable story of a man who fell in love with music and fell in love with theater at the beginning of his life, and found ways over and over and over again to be part of the music scene in every possible way and to create theater at every opportunity, and manages to be extraordinarily humble in the face of his achievements. So here now is the remarkable Jerry Billick.
Okay, I'm here with Jerry Billick. And I'm explaining to Jerry that I interview people who make their living or their life with an art. That is clearly true of you.
Yes.
And the art to which you have given your life is the art of music, would you say?
Music and theater.
Music and theater. Okay. Terrific. Where did it start?
It's been parallel.
Parallel.
Because I was in a kindergarten play.
I only asked one question.
Right.
And that is it, actually. Can you tell me the very first time that theater or music drew you, seemed attractive to you, compelled you?
Yeah, it was kindergarten and I was a tulip.
You were a tulip?
A little Dutch garden by an old Dutch mill. I mean, it was fun.
So are you saying that you remember the kindergarten tulip?
Absolutely.
Did you have words or you just were...
Yeah, we sang that song, in an old Dutch garden by an old Dutch mill. Or something, and we're standing still.
Oh my gosh, so you still remember it?
Yeah.
Wow. So... truly, theater and music, parallel lines, yeah. Right at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay, so is there anything after that?
Well, in the fourth grade, I started the trombone.
So you weren't playing before that?
It's complicated. I taught myself to play the piano.
Really? Do you remember why you
yes.
taught yourself?
My older brother, 8 years older, he was kind of like my coach. He wanted me to be a musician or an actor or something, but he would play song guessing games. He would play a song on the piano, and if I knew it, he would have to do my household chore. If I didn't know it, I'd have to do his household chore. And so I lost most of the time, and then I would play, and the only song I knew was Three Blind Mice. And I'd play, dun, dun, he'd say, Three Blind Mice. And I would lose. So because he was older, he was in high school. So in the afternoons, before he came home, I'd start teaching myself how to disguise...
Three Blind Mice.
Three Blind Mice. And some other songs. And
I started
winning.
Yeah. Oh, that's adorable. And I'm assuming that you knew the melody and you were picking it out on the piano.
Yeah, and I was basically teaching myself to arrange. Taught myself how to play on the piano well enough to do all that kind of stuff and served me very well later, so...
That's amazing, actually. How old were you?
8 or 9.
So, okay, so now you can play the piano. So you, and then in the fourth grade, they also give you the trombone.
My brother said, I think you should play the trombone. So he got me a trombone.
Okay, so now you're playing the piano, but you can't read music. You can just play.
I don't remember.
You don't remember how you learned to play?
No.
No. I don't. But at some point, you could play the piano and you could play the trombone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So this is elementary school, middle school, junior high, if they had that, high school, and you're playing in the band.
Yeah, and in elementary school, a terrific music teacher, and they started a jazz band in elementary school.
Oh, my goodness.
And they had enough trombones, I wasn't that good. So he said, if you want to be in the jazz band, you have to play a different instrument. My mother tells this story. Music day was Wednesday. And I was always very prompt child. I came home. She said, that one day I didn't come home, and she began to get worried. And she was looking out the door, and she didn't see me. And she says, and I saw a string bass walking down the street because I was carrying this big thing in front of me. Because she taught me. So I started on the string bass. That was in the sixth grade. It was fun. I liked it, and I also liked to be in plays. Was a poster on the music room about a place in Michigan called the National Music Camp. And it had a picture of a beautiful girl playing the harp sitting by a lake. And I said, what is that? And the teacher said, well, it's a camp and you go in for a few weeks in the summer and make music. I said, well, that'd be fun. And it turned out that a senior in high school was going there. And so.
And you were what?
I was in the eighth grade, so I was... 13.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I went there with this kid. Long train ride from New Rochelle all the way up to Upper Michigan. And at Interlochen, that my life changed there. We had a very good music program. But Interlochen, it was just the entire... It's still that way. It hasn't changed. It was 70 years ago. But it was just amazing, the quality of the kids. And it was very non-competitive. So that summer, I was there for 8 weeks. And... they had just started an intermediate division in the camp for people my age. So it was the first year they had that camp. They didn't know what to do with us. 13, strange. We had a band. I was in the band. I was in the orchestra.
Playing the string bass.
Huh?
Playing
the... I played trombone. I didn't play the bass up there. And I was also in a drama club. In fact, I always make a joke. At the end of the first summer, their evaluation of my trombone playing, they offered me a scholarship to come back the next year in drama. I always say that. Because we actually did radio plays at that time, 1947. But they offered a composition class in the afternoons, and I wasn't going to go until I found out the composition class was in a building next to the intermediate girls' tennis courts. So I said, I think I'll go over and take that class. Because at Interlochen, all the girls wore knickers. And so the only place they didn't wear knickers was at the tennis courts. So, terrible. I always tell, Helga always said, don't tell people that story. But but it's true. But I was so inspired, I actually wrote a piece. And they got very excited because I wrote for the whole orchestra. I had learned, partially from working with my brother, all about the different instruments, so I could actually write an entire orchestral piece, which I did. And 17 Magazine got very excited. They took my picture, and they made a big article about me because I had written this piece. But it wasn't that. It was that they used to take us to the concerts. They were older, they were younger kids and high school kids and university kids at the camp. It's a large camp. It's still going. And we had gone to a performance of Mozart Requiem at their outdoor thing that they have. And I was so moved, I said, I'm going to be a musician. Wow. That's when it happened, that summer. In 1947. Yeah, I remember that. I remember distinct, almost could go back to the same, well, they've rebuilt the thing, but where I was sitting and listening to that, it was so beautiful. I said, if someone can write something that does that to me, I want to try to do that to somebody else. And so... I got very interested. I was at Interlochen for 8 years. I kept going back. I went up, became a high school student, then a university student. And I actually went to the University of Michigan because it sponsored that camp. And even when I was there, I kept going back and ended up on the staff driving buses and things just to keep, because it was so beautiful. So that was it. I mean, I was committed.
And so now you're committed to music for sure.
Right.
And... is there theater in this as well?
Well, yeah, that was going on. As I said, the first year I was there, I got a drama scholarship.
Were you an actor?
I acted, and mostly acting. And in high school, I was in the band and the orchestra and the choir, but I also was in the dramatic club and was in a lot of plays. There's something magical about the theater, the stage, that you make this illusion that you're someplace else, and it fascinated me. So that was always parallel. And at the University of Michigan, I was supposed to go to a piano placement room when you come in as a freshman, and then they decide where you should be.
Oh, you mean placement as in you will play and they'll decide what you write?
And I misread the sign, and it said, I went into a room that said piano proficiency, same thing. And so I went in, they asked me to play some things and read some music, and I could do that. And then they said play in a different key, and I knew how to do that, and so on and so on. And then they said, well, okay, you can graduate. I said, no, this is my first day. I just got here. He said, what are you doing in here? I said, I don't know. So they gave me a very advanced teacher, the top head of the department. And I was very brash, and I went to the first lesson, and I said, what have you played? And I have actually performed on the radio because I didn't know how to play right. I could fake things. So I said, well, I played a Warsaw Concerto, the Ritual Fire Dance, and another part, because I had faked it. He said, well, play something for me. And he said, play the Ritual Fire Dance. So I went, and he laughed, and he said, what are you doing? I said, this is the way I play it, Anyhow, so it was, we remained good friends, but I had to change majors because I was so bad. But I got involved. I played like in the pit for operas and shows and things like that. But I also, being a nut on Gilbert and Sullivan, which also came from my brother, actually, he used to pay me to memorize Gilbert and Sullivan for some reason, but... So I became the director of the Gilbert and Sullivan Society. And so while I was in a music education program, but doing theater on the side all the time. And then I wasn't a very good trombone player. And the marching band, there were 18 trombones. And I was number 17. That's how good I was. And the conductor kept calling me by the name of the 16th trombone. He didn't even know my name. And he said one day, would anyone like to do arranging for the band? And I thought, he doesn't even know who I am. And I do know how to do the instruments, so I think I'll go in. I did a little arrangement, actually a Popeye the Sailor Man. And then I did others. I am now a living legend now because they play my arrangements every football game. And my senior year, I had written a march just called the Block M for Michigan M. And that became voted by conductors as one of the 100 best marchers ever written. So that was
my
nice.
Goodness.
Got published. And
you were quite young yet.
Yeah, senior. And
right.
They had a band convention at Michigan that last year. And the conductor of the West Point Band at the Military Academy came up to me and said, you know, Billick, you're going to be drafted next year. But if you enlist in the Army and come to West Point, they can't draft you because it's a special assignment. And he sold me on this. I enlisted and became the arranger of the West Point Band. But out of the Army, I went back to Michigan to graduate school. Then one of my best friends from kindergarten was a big TV director. And he said, you should come to L.A. And I have done films. And so we did. We moved out to L.A. And I started doing television background music. And then one of the assignments we had was to do the music for Ringling Brothers Circus. And that's what got me here.
So the bulk of your career then is essentially in L.A. writing for TV and film?
Nope.
No, of course not.
That was a phase. Actually, what happened was this friend of mine who was directing the show or producing it asked me to do the music, and so I did the music. And Danny Kaye was the guest, and I wrote a song. People who owned the circus bought Holiday on Ice. And they were looking for someone to do the music for their new ice show. And I had done a show for them that they liked for Princess Grace. They asked me to do the ice show. And then the Felds, this is Kenneth Feld and his father, had made a deal with Disney to do a Disney on Ice show. And they asked me if I would do the music for it. And we had a meeting in Beverly Hills. And they said, well, they did this layout, they had what the show would be, and they said, what do you think of it? And I said, can I tell you the truth? And they said, yeah. I said, I think it's terrible. And they said, well, what would you do? And I said, well, you're just having a bunch of people skate around to Disney tunes. I said, if children are going to come, if they want to see Mickey Mouse skate, you have to have a story, because this was all my theater background.
Yeah,
back.
I hear it.
And they said, well, what kind of a story? I said, well, I'll figure out some way to put all these tunes and make a story out of it, which I did, and that was in 1981. And now, you know, Disney on Ice is all over the world. And
but that's combining now all the stuff you know about theater with all the stuff you know about music, right?
Yeah, so I wrote the script. I did the music, right. and of course, their staff were all skaters, and they said, well, what do we do? And I said, the characters are going to have to pantomime as if they were actually saying the lines. I mean, it's going to be all recorded.
Right.
And they said, well, we don't know how. I said, well, I know how to direct. I've been directing.
So you wrote it and you directed it?
Yeah. So, and that went on for 32 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So I was doing the circus and the ice show. Then they had made a deal with Siegfried and Roy, so I wrote their show and did the music for that, so and then several other Vegas shows. It was really fun because I could do everything.
Yes, that's right. And you didn't have to listen to anybody.
Yeah, and the circus, of course, began our connection here.
Yeah.
We would come and do a TV special every year in December and January, and we really got to love Sarasota. I retired in the end of 2011, and I've been pretty busy since retiring. I am doing a project with the Black Theater right now. I'm staying involved that way.
So you're here and you're working still?
Well, I mean, I'm still getting commissions to write things, which is
right.
Amazing. The orchestra has played my symphony. Yes, I'm doing all kinds of things. I'm teaching a music course.
So you taught yourself to play the piano.
Yeah.
And you taught yourself to arrange.
Yeah.
So all the stuff that you did...
Well, I wouldn't say I taught myself. Well, you do. I mean, when you're writing, you analyze what you've done and you say, well, I shouldn't make that mistake again. Like the first piece I wrote was not... I just did, you know, I'm doing a course here and I did Mozart last week and I played his first symphony, which he wrote when he was 8. And I thought of the piece that I wrote when I was 13... They made such a fuss about, but it was really dumb. So,
but I'm trying to get a picture of this. So, how I see it is, you had a natural facility for this, and it seems like you took this on, and you did it as though you could do it, right?
Yeah.
And you got away with it for a long time.
Yeah.
Even though you are now saying that you think you weren't all that good at it.
Well, right. Well, at a certain level, I was certainly adequate. I worked with Shields and Yarnell for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I played piano for their act, live.
Wow.
And so they were on Johnny Carson. And I must say, that is one time I was scared because the show, you know, it's live, so... one of the best pianists in L.A., who I knew, who I worked with up there, he had to slide off the bench, and I got on the piano bench, and I'm sitting in front of the Tonight Show band, all of whom I knew, and playing, you know, for Shields and Yarnell. And then I did that again for, I think it was an Academy Award or one of the award shows, and thinking, you know, the whole world is listening, and I'm playing the piano, this untrained pianist. But it came off all right. This friend of mine from kindergarten, at age 7, 8, 9, we would come to my house, and in the backyard, we would put on Ringling Brothers Circus. They believe we were doing it. And then I ended up doing Ringling
Brothers
Circus.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really funny. So.
But even at 8, you guys essentially knew what you were going to do. You were already doing it.
I told you from the kindergarten.
Yes.
That stage, that magical, yeah. The fact that you can create any place in the world on the stage. And I've done a couple of original musicals and things. So I always had that parallel, which unfortunately I think took a sort of the edge off the skill level of both. Because I was doing too much. There's a lot of people say, well, you're a good composer. I don't really feel that way. I think it's, you know, I'm a fair composer. People like my stuff. But when I hear the masters...
So... The other question I ask is, having given a life to music and the theater, what would you say about what that's like?
Well, it's, to me, very rewarding. I've always felt that both art forms, their greatest asset is how it brings people together. That both of those things involve a fairly large group of people. With my marching band, I think 120,000 people at this one time. But yeah, that's how big the stadium is. But and that's the mega thing. And with the circus and the ice shows, I would, you know, I don't skate, but I would talk to the skaters and I'd say, how do you, you know. When we did, for instance, Beauty and the Beast, at the skater playing the Beast is carrying around a 75-pound beast on his head. I said, how do you do that, you know, 13 times a week? And he says, we can see the audience and we see the children. And they are just, the mothers are crying and the children, and he says, it's worth it. And that being part of that, being the one who creates it, I share that same feeling. You know, when I conducted an orchestra or something. That unifying device of the arts, as opposed, it's not to be seen, you know, the graphic arts, I guess one person looks at a painting, but this thing, it's a shared experience. And I've always felt very lucky that I could, you know, create things or bring things that other people created to a mass audience like that. So I have felt very blessed the whole time. I'm just unbelievable luck to be in the right place in the right time and have to do that. And when I was in Hollywood and working with, you know, the big names, and several of them said to me, you know, I know there are 100 people as talented or more talented than I am, but I was in the right place at the right time. This is like major stars have said that.
And, are saying this about themselves.
Huh?
Are saying this about themselves.
Yeah. And he said, and many of them are like, some of them are pretty conceited, but some are not. And they share that kind of gratitude for being able to have that kind of acceptance. So I've felt very, particularly, I must say, the circus and the Disney thing, because it's a family thing. It's not just grown-ups or rich people or anything like that. It's for community. And that's always been very important to me, is what I've liked.
That's a great place to stop.
I hope, as always, that when you listen to Jerry, you're asking yourself, do I feel this way about my life? Am I so submerged in the things that I love, value, bring me pleasure, that that is what I am doing with my life? That is what I have given my life to? Well, of course, I hope that this is true for you. But if it's not, and you want to talk to me about that, please go up on my website, thelynshow.com. That's thelynnesshow. Don't leave the E out of Lynn. You can click on the email tab and ask me any questions that you might have. I'm happy to answer you. As always, I hope you got something from this show that you can use. Something that inspired you, something that interested you, something that will bring you back, because, as always, I will be back next week, same time, same station. And as always, I sure hope you will be, too.
You see, I'm getting older. My hair is turning gray. Oh, you see my face and figure. I've both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring. I won't slip out of sight, no. I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. You see that I have had my shot. My time has come and gone. Oh, won't I please get off the stage? Let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated. Oh, fight, no, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a bell I keep on ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly. Well, dang, no, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Rising from the ashes every chance I get. I may be running out of time, but it ain't over yet. 'Cause me and Sister Phoenix, we won't give up the flight, no. Go gentle into that good night. And I won't go with a whimper. I'm going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I may not be as juicy, hell, but I still got some tang. So you won't hear me simper. I may have got